Bay Radio, where all the active content is compliant, even when the host is obstreperous. Now, here's Griff.
And this segment's brought to you by Worth Point, the ultimate tool to value your antiques and your collectibles. Nothing is more certain than taxes. Well,
We don't like to mention the other thing because we're getting close to it.
Do you mean death?
Yes.
The ultimate disappointment. And there have certainly been some major changes to taxes this year. Here now to boil it all down to what you really need to know is attorney Barbara Weltman. She's the author of J.K. Lasser's Small Business Taxes 2018. Barbara, I have to imagine that you've been one busy woman since the new tax law took effect, since there's so much to know. So what should I be thinking about?
Well, you're so right. I feel like the most popular girl at the dance here. When it comes
no wallflower, you.
Oh, no, because there is so much going on now. I guess if you could call it good news, is that most of the changes don't impact 2017 returns. So people who are in the thick of it looking at preparing their returns this filing season don't have to concern themselves with the intricacies of any of the new laws, except, of course, to the extent that it impacts what they pay for their estimated taxes or how much they want to withhold if they have a day job and want to have withholding. So to that extent, they do need to know about the new rules, and we could go into that if you want.
So about every year about tax time, the IRS reminds online sellers to report their income. Does the IRS know what eBay sellers are making?
Well, believe it or not, they do know what a lot of sellers. Now, I won't say all because there is a small business exception, but there's an information return called a 1099-K that PayPal and other processors of merchant payments have to provide to merchants. And so the IRS knows what the gross amount that you've processed on your payment method. And recently, meaning within the past year, I saw two cases where the IRS used the information from the 1099 case to go after taxpayers who they believed, who the government believed was underreporting their income. One concerned a jewelry maker. He was in the jewelry business for 40 years. The other was a gun dealer, and the IRS went after both of them and successfully was able to show with the help of the 1099s that they weren't reporting their income.
Mm.
Yeah, so just beware. You don't have to reconcile these on your tax returns. They're information returns. It's just helpful to know what the IRS knows about you.
Yeah, that's, and what they know is what actually happens. So if you're keeping good records and you're reporting all of your income properly, then you have nothing to worry about.
Precisely. And this is the gross amount, and it doesn't reflect returns or allowances. So what you report as income could be slightly different than what's on the 1099-Ks, but it certainly, you can't go too far afield.
So this is a big one, Barbara, and I know we've talked about it before, but it bears repeating because I think there's still misconception among many sellers about this. If you're selling on eBay and you're considering it as a hobby, you say, I'm not a business, I'm just a hobby seller. Does that income need to be reported?
Yes. There's a basic rule in tax law. You have to report all your income, even if it's a dollar, if it's income, and there's no...
Yeah, you know, doing this radio show is a hobby. You know,
yeah. My job at eBay is a hobby.
I mean, do you think this is a job, IRS?
Good point.
I get what you mean. If you're earning money, it's not a hobby, right?
Well, yes and no. There are people who bring in some money from an activity that they're doing because they love the activity. They're not really in it with an intention to make a profit, meaning that they have lots of expenses and they want to write those off. And that's where the trouble arises.
Oh.
So if your expenses are more than the income that you're bringing in, you have to show that you have a profit motive. And if you don't, the IRS says you're in it as a hobby. And what happens under the new law starting in 2018, you get to deduct zero expenses from a hobby.
Really?
Zero zip. Okay.
Yeah.
So before you could.
Yes.
Before you could take, if it was a hobby, the IRS let you take deductions to the extent of your income. So if you made $5,000, you could deduct expenses up to $5,000.
Let's say that you made little model airplanes for people and you painted them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get to deduct all of the supplies. If you made money, you're selling those to friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
mm-hmm.
you brought in a few grand.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you can report against it, just like you do a business.
Yeah, but starting in 2018, unless you can demonstrate a profit motive, and if the IRS is successful in saying it's a hobby, you can't deduct your expenses because there's no more
Got it.
Miscellaneous itemized deduction allowed for 2018 through 2025.
Okay, so then how do we show that it's not a hobby?
You got to treat it like a business. Keep good books and records. Set prices that could show that you'd have that you could make money from what you're doing.
Hmm.
So an artist. Because I saw this question the other day and nobody could answer this online.
What's that?
There was an artist. She paints pictures.
Yeah.
And every now and then she sells one. But Barbara, it's rare. She has never made a lot of money selling, and every now and then she sells a painting. So what happens? Let's say she sold three paintings for $300 each, $900. This is last year.
Well, she's supposed to report income. She's supposed to report that income.
Yeah.
Nobody's giving her a gift. This is income. She's charging for her services as an artist.
So the other question we get a lot, Barbara, is about estimated taxes. What are those? And does the owner of a business on eBay need to be concerned about this?
Estimated taxes are a lot of people who have a job, they know that their employer takes money out of their paycheck. They withhold federal income tax to cover their tax bill for the year. But if you're self-employed, nobody's withholding anything for you. It's up to you to pay your taxes throughout the year via estimated taxes. And it's up to you to do this. In other words, it's something that you have to be proactive about. You have to determine how much to pay, and you have to remit the money to the U.S. Treasury. And it's challenging for some business owners who may have trouble with cash flow, and they may not necessarily have the money on hand when it's the due date for estimated taxes, but this is a responsibility of being in business.
Yeah.
You know, when I was doing the event every year, all of that money came into PayPal. You know, people would buy the registrations, and it would all come into PayPal. And that was the first time I got one of those 1099-Ks because of all that money that came in. So please, we need to remind people, they use PayPal for other things too, Griff. Just their eBay sales.
Yeah.
But we're talking about money that comes in through PayPal here. Because we got asked that question. Is the home office deduction an audit red flag?
Well, that's a great question, and I get that question all the time. And this is my answer. The Small Business Administration has said that 52% of all businesses in the U.S. are home-based. So do you think the IRS is going to audit half of all the businesses in the U.S.? I don't. And what's more, the IRS has even developed what you might call a standard deduction for your home office space. So the bottom line is there are rules for qualifying for a home office. In other words, you have to use the space regularly and exclusively for business. Your kitchen table isn't a home office. But as long as you meet the qualifications, I think you can sleep easy.
Oh, okay.
Is there an
app? I feel much better now.
See, now let's look at this. So a person who's got a gigantic home, so their home office is bigger than mine because I live in a mobile home. So they get to deduct more, correct?
I want to say yes. It depends on the amount of space that they're using. Just because they have a big home, they have to devote a portion of it regularly and exclusively to business. So it could be a part of a family room. It could be an extra bedroom. It could be a den, whatever it might be. But again, there's no limit to how big the home office is. But if you are using the standard deduction, there's a maximum you can take.
Okay. So if you have your eBay inventory in one room, and that's all you have in that room, and you also have your office in another room, and that's all you have, you could
You could add up all the square
all
footage.
All the square footage. Okay.
Precisely, yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
So we've learned something very interesting from you today, Barbara Weltman, and that is we don't have to worry about the tax changes yet, except, like you said, there are a couple of changes that are big for us, and one is that we can no longer, if it's a hobby, we can't deduct.
On 2018.
On 2018. And anything else we should know going into 2018 that we should be doing for the taxes that we do next year?
Well, I think as we always talk about, I know we've discussed it before, record keeping is so vital for any of the write-offs that you want. In other words, if you're driving your personal car or truck for business, you're delivering packages to UPS to be mailed out to customers, or you're going to the bank, or you're going to buy supplies, you have to keep track of your mileage if you want to be able to deduct it. So that's nothing new, but it's something that I like to emphasize every year because I see so many people lose out on what are really legitimate deductions, but they don't have the records to back them up, and they could just be out of luck when it comes to tax time.
You know, I would love to have you on again to talk about nothing but deductions. Will you do that?
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll have the whole segment be what you can deduct.
Okay, sounds great.
If you're an eBay seller, what are the kinds of things you can deduct?
Absolutely.
I would appreciate that, Barbara, because I'm like you. I know that there are a lot of people out there wasting a lot of money because they just don't know.
That's true. Barbara, it's always a pleasure and an education. Thanks once again. This segment was brought to you by WorthPoint, the ultimate tool to value your antiques and collectibles. Open phones, 888-723-4630. Call us.
You've got high-flying plans for your business on eBay, and ShipStation wants to be the wind beneath your wings. Whether your monthly shipments total 50 or 50,000, one of ShipStation's six plans will fit your business right now and give it room to soar. ShipStation integrates with eBay and your other selling channels to help you manage and ship orders more easily in less time, so you can focus on reaching new heights. Takeoff is fast and easy too. There's nothing to install, so you can be up and shipping in just minutes. Plus, ShipStation's automation rules let you customize the fulfillment process to fit your business. And when you're ready to scale up, ShipStation will still be your wingman. Try all the features of ShipStation free for 30 days. No credit card required. Then choose your plan at ShipStation.com. That's ShipStation.com.
Once you've joined the eBay Radio Group, take a few minutes and subscribe to the eBay Radio Group newsletter. It's the second post on the list of discussion threads at ebayradio.com. In it, you'll find simple instructions on how to subscribe. Then you'll receive a show reminder right in your inbox every Tuesday and Thursday, complete with show info, a show calendar, and on Tuesday, the secret word. The eBay Radio Group newsletter. Subscribe today and don't miss another issue.
As an eBay seller, you know what kind of keys unlock the door to more sales. We're talking keywords you use in your titles. What you probably don't know is exactly which keywords work best for which items. But Terapeak SEO knows. You already trust Terapeak's marketplace data. Well, that same data drives Terapeak's search engine optimization tool, SEO for short. Terapeak SEO samples real-world listing data from eBay and Google to show you the search terms that are driving sales for inventory like yours. Simply enter a product to see its top-ranking keywords, their popularity, and how each keyword affects sales. Then, use those keywords to create a title that boosts your listing and search results, attracts more shoppers, and helps you sell your item. That's key. Try Terapeak SEO for free for 7 days at Terapeak.com. That's Terapeak.com.
Stay up to speed on everything that's happening on eBay Radio. You really need to be on Lee's List. Once you join, you'll receive Lee's exclusive newsletter twice a week, one for each live broadcast, with show news and a show calendar, plus her savvy advice for the entrepreneur, which you can't get anywhere else. To be added to Lee's List, simply send email to Lee at voicemarketing.com with the subject header, Add Me to Lee's List.
Listen while you list.